We've spent the last 5 weeks walking with Jesus during the first days of his ministry. We stood on the shore of the Jordan River as Jesus came up out of the waters of baptism. We also stood on the shore of the Sea of Galilee as Jesus called his first disciples and gave them their mission. We wandered into the Sabbath assembly and watched him confront an unclean spirit. And we escaped with him into the desert to rest, reconnect, and reflect with God. Today, in our last sermon in this series, we skip forward to the middle of the story, and we find ourselves following Jesus as he picks his way up the mountain path with Peter, James, and John. And at the top of the mountain, we find our sixth and final word. Revelation. Revelation comes from the same root as the word reveal. A revelation is an unveiling, a pulling back of the curtain that separates the known from the unknown. You might say the difference between revelation and ordinary discovery is that we usually attribute revelation to an outside source, namely God, while discovery is the product of our own learning and experimentation. But I think this is a false dichotomy. Rather, God is always offering us the blessing of revelation. In fact, I believe God desires nothing more than for us to know God better. But we are not always in places that allow ready embracing of such revelation. Revelation is available to us, but we are not always available to revelation. And this is where the process of ordinary discovery comes in. So I want you to think back to a time when you were in school. You were in math class. Geometry, maybe? And you had no idea what your teacher was talking about. You'd been taking math classes your whole life. You'd learned addition and subtraction in your multiplication tables. You'd struggled with long division, but got it in the end. Then came fractions. Yikes. But those two made sense in time. Algebra next, the slope of a line, y equals mx plus b, no problem. But now you're stuck. You see the formulas to find the area of various shapes on the dry erase board, and the only sound in your brain is the dull buzz of incomprehension. But you like math, so you buckle down. You ask a friend who understands it to help you learn. You draw circle after circle, triangle after triangle, trying to figure out the material. And thankfully, your friend is patient with you, and one day in the library after school, you get it. The light goes on. You put in the legwork, you've applied your elbow grease, and now you own that geometric discovery for yourself. So we can apply this same legwork and elbow grease when it comes to nurturing our faith. We call it discipleship. While revelation is always available to us, we make ourselves more and more available to revelation when we actively participate in our relationships with God, when we strive to follow Jesus with intention. In geometry class, we could have just let the material pass us by. We could have just limped along, not really understanding the lesson, but that's not what we signed up for. In the same way, when we make every effort to pair our drive for discovery with God's desire to pull back the curtain, we find ourselves open to revelation. And we find ourselves on the mountaintop with the disciples. So Jesus stands before us in the darkness. But suddenly the light from within Jesus blazes forth and the darkness flees. Or at least that's what seems to happen. We perceive Jesus changing, and as Mark tells us, his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. But I think something else is going on here. And to see it, we have to reorient our perspective. So for example, in the evening, we say the sun sets beneath the horizon. But what really happens is that our little plot of earth rotates away from the sun. To change our perspective. Likewise, I don't think anything at all changes about Jesus during the mountaintop visit. Rather, I think God gives the disciples the gift of revelation. God gives them transfigured eyes. Eyes that for a moment are able to see Jesus as God sees him. As a luminous being from whom the darkness can do nothing but flee. When we stumble into a moment of revelation, and it almost always is a stumbling in, we discover new or deeper truths about God's movement in our lives and God's mission of healing and reconciliation in this broken world. And in these moments of revelation, our perspective shifts, deepens, and we catch a clearer glimpse of what God is up to. And everything begins again. We look back at where our feet have taken us, and we know we've moved along the path following Jesus, and yet we find ourselves back at our first word, affirmation. And we hear once again God say to Jesus the same words God spoke 6 weeks ago. "This is my Son, the Beloved." Once again, God affirms Jesus as God's beloved child, and by extension, God affirms us, warts and all, as fundamentally good children beloved by God. But the affirmation is deeper now because of the journey we've taken. We've gone to the center of our brokenness. We've taken up our crosses. We've confronted the entrenched demons of society. We've collapsed exhausted for a time of Sabbath rest. And now we discover God revealing to us that God loves us even more than we thought possible. With that deeper affirmation of goodness and love resonating in our hearts, we are ready for new invitations, our second word. New invitations to go even closer to the center of our brokenness than we were willing to go before. We are ready to embrace with even more zeal the authentic missions that Christ offers when we pick up our crosses. We are ready to trust God with ever-expanding reserves of courage and faith when we confront all that stands in the way of creation reconciling at last to God. We are ready to drink even more deeply from the waters of rejuvenation. And each time we walk this path, as it spirals upwards, we are ready to embrace greater revelation, to see more often with those transfigured eyes. That's the goal, really. Seeing more and more often with transfigured eyes. Seeing this world as God sees it. As broken and beautiful at the same time. And in seeing as God would want us to see, we begin to notice with greater regularity those whom God yearns for us to love. We begin to serve with greater passion those whom God yearns for us to serve. And we begin to live with greater vitality the abundant life that Christ offers to all. Amen.